is a very big subject. And do you know that you have access to it? Mm-hmm. Access to what, you might be wondering? Well, it's the most freely given and withdrawn thing in the whole wide world. And it's also the most used and abused. There is an abundance and both a lack of it. The world today and so many others don't even realize it. And it's always given more than it receives. What is it? It's love. And right along with it, stuck to it, and inseparable from it, is grace. Love and grace, grace and love. They go together. Both definitions are very similar, and even though the world may not be aware of it, both are gifts and are for all in superabundance. Because they were chosen to be extended and given by God to all who will accept them. Freely given. Freely given. We got to get that deep down. They're free. No matter what. And if any one would take for a minute and think about it. It was given without expecting anything in return. God just keeps on giving and giving and giving and extending. He extends them, staying true to His word. That's what's known, though, as agape love. Agape is God's kind of love. Did you know that there are actually four kinds of love? Okay, phileo, love, P-H-I-L-E-O. It is love between friends. It involves feelings of warmth and affection towards another person. Eros, E-R-O-S. Eros love is passionate love or sexual love. Eros is the source of the English word that we have, erotic. Eros is important within a marriage relationship and is created by God for married couples. Storge. I said storge. S-T-O-R-G-E. Storge love is an affectionate love. The type of love one might have for family. Then we have agape. Agape is unconditional love. Agape is God's kind of love. Agape love, the true essence of love that God offers unconditionally. There is nothing like it. Nothing like the love of God. God's love given the chance has healed every heart, every hurt, and in fact, everyone His love has ever come in contact with. So you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. See, and Paul wrote it as a reference point for human comparison in the Bible. Although the Bible mentions love 567 times, this by far is the most descriptive description. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this is the Living Word, Living Bible translation. Okay. If I had the gift of being able to speak in other languages without learning them and could speak in every language there is in all of heaven and earth, but don't love others, I would only be making noise. If I had the gift of prophecy and knew all about what is going to happen in the future, knew everything about everything, but didn't love others, what good would it do? Even if I had the gift of faith so that I could speak to a mountain and make it move, I would still be worth nothing at all without love. If I gave everything I have to poor people, and if I were burned alive for preaching the gospel but didn't love others, it would be of no value whatever. Now here is Paul's description of love. In a short, right to the point, but full of power. Verse 4. Love is very patient and kind. Never jealous or envious. Never boastful or proud. Never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Verse 7. If you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground in defending him. For those preparing for marriage, if you love your mate, you will be loyal to him, to them no matter what the cost. You will always believe in them, always expect the best of them, and always stand your ground in defending them. Agape love is wholly selfless and spiritual. That's W-H-O-L-L-Y, by the way. Not determined by actions or deeds. It just is given to you unconditionally. That's how God gives His love. It's a free gift. It's the gift of love to us. Most people, and we're talking about a vast majority of people, including Christians, they never fully walk in or receive all that God has for them because they don't realize and accept how much He truly loves them, that He loves them enough to give it to them solely based on that premises alone, just because. Just because. Why does He want to? Just because He wants to. No other reason. Just because. It's kind of like getting a raise at your job, even when you're always clocking in late. And you're not even the boss's kid. You're not even related at all to him. But they give it to you anyways, even though you've done nothing to deserve it. Nothing. Just because they want to. And you'll say, thank you, no questions asked, and you immediately start to enjoy the benefits, even though you didn't do anything to deserve them. It doesn't even enter your mind, though, that of the fact that you didn't deserve them, does it? Somebody gives you a raise, you go, okay, cool. What'd you do to deserve it? They just wanted to give it to you because. How's that possible? How's come that would be such an easy scenario for many of us to participate in? Some of you might be thinking, wow, that would be the greatest job. Wow. Well, maybe so. But tell me why, when God has offered His wonderful grace and favor for being on His team, Team Jesus, you walk away empty-handed. More times than not, feeling unworthy to receive them. You are worthy. He made you worthy. He made you worthy. Just think about that a minute. You're on Team Jesus. You're on Team Jesus. And He's back there, and when He's throwing it, you're the receiver. Just receive. Because you're on a team that's going to take it all. Team Jesus has the victory in the end. And it comes down to that last battle. Team Jesus has the victory. We are Team Jesus. We are Team Jesus. So listen up. I want you to know and to understand one of the most amazing things ever revealed to mankind. God loves you enough, no matter how you may feel, to go ahead and give you His goodness to you anyway. Yes, even though you don't think you deserve it. It's not about what you think. See, it's about Jesus. You have complete and undeniable access to God's love, grace, and favor. You get to enjoy all the promises and benefits He has for you. Right now, everybody should be saying, thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, thank you, Jesus. We need to have a grateful and a thankful heart all the time. You open your eyes this morning. Thank you, Jesus. I woke up this morning. For this is the day that you have made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. What are we going to do today together, Jesus? Even though you're going to your job, you're representing Jesus on that job. People looking at you. Am I right, brother? You live very personal and close with those that you work with. You and Judy both. And it's your light that shines. And that's what changes them. That's what opens them up so that they'll speak to you. Because the individuals you work with can clam up, can't they? They can clam up very tight. See, we don't want to waste one more minute of our lives without letting the one who created you and me fill up our lives with the love, the grace, and the goodness only He is capable of giving, and realize continually that you have it. You know, Hollywood has made some of the greatest love movies of all time. Right? A lot of them are true to life. Some of them are fictional. But most of them are true to life. In fact, you know, how do you do it? But they took and made a love story out of the sinking of a great ocean liner that said could not be taken down, called the Titanic. But it was ultimately a love story. And it moved a lot of people. It made Hollywood a lot of money. A lot of people I know that saw that movie 7-8 times. I saw it once. Okay. I was more interested in when the boat went down than anything else. But that's just me. That's just me. But there it was. It's love. Love is ultimately very, very important. And that's the basis for Jesus coming into this world, to represent the love that the Father has. But of all them combined, they fell. They fell definitely in comparison to that love, to love that God has shown for mankind. And not just for mankind, but for you personally. You personally. We got to realize that. Personally. Each and every one of us are special to Him. We are unique in our own ways. And He knows that. But that's why He created us. To be unique individuals. We all have a purpose. And when we do the purpose that He's called us to do here, life is so much better on earth for us. Because you'll be doing what He's called you to do. So if you remember nothing else from today, I want you to know how much God loves you and truly longs to show you His goodness and giving nature towards you, all made possible by His grace and favor. He has already freely given and made abundantly available to you to enjoy. What's the scripture say? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And when Jesus came into the world, He came in so that we may have life. We may have life. That's living and breathing. Life. A good life. And that we may have it more abundantly. And for he came into this world full of grace and truth. He was full of it. Full of the Father's love for us. Grace. And we should be so thankful. I am thankful for the grace that he's shown in my life. I know each one of us can. He came with these gifts from God the Father because of the great love that God has for all his children. And we are his children. So that makes that we are children of the Most High God. Get that in your head. We are children of the Most High God. What's love got to do with it? Everything. You will never walk in, realize, or enjoy all that God has truly given to you until you completely understand how much God loves you. God has given us so much. In Mark chapter 4, verses 24 and 25, the MEV, okay, that's from the Modern English Version, and that's from my Copeland Study Bible. The scripture says, and this is Jesus speaking, "Take heed what you hear. The measure you give will be measured to for you. And to you who hear will more be given. For to him who has will more be given. And from him who has not will be given even what he has." Will be taken away, I'm sorry. How did I say that? Let me read that scripture again to make sure I clarify that. He said to them, "Take heed what you hear. The measure you give will be measured for you. And to you who hear will more be given. For to him who has will more be given. And from him who has not will be taken, even what he has." That sounds better. Have you come across people who have little and hold it so tightly in their grasp? Yet even that little is taken away from them. See, on the other hand, there are those who already have much. They freely give, and they receive even more. Jesus said, "To everyone who has, more will be given. From him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." Now notice, Jesus isn't explicit in detail as to saying exactly what it is we have. He quite simply is saying to everyone who has what, you ask, right? Is it something that is tangible? Yes, it is. It's as real as the clothes that are on your body, the watch that's on your wrist, the ring that's on your finger. It is God's authoritative word on the subject. Jesus is talking about a firm belief in God's word that gives one the courage to say, "I have it, and I am willing to put my faith and trust in it to proclaim God's blessings and benefits over everything that I have or ever will have, knowing that God and his word will be faithful and will never let you down." Continually recognize and realize the significance his word can have in your life. We do at times. Be honest, at times we do. But it's so significant in everything that we say and do. The word. Go ahead, Nick. The word, the word, the word. Amen. Start living the God-sized dreams that he has for you. You will never hear the devil or anyone else proclaiming a blessing over your life like the way the word of God does. Unless that person is speaking the word. And he's speaking the word only. not adding to it or subtracting from it. There's a difference. God's word is as real as it gets on any subject. Whether anyone wants to believe the word or not will never diminish the unlimited power and capabilities it can accomplish when it is released and spoken in faith into anyone's life or situation. You see, in your life, it doesn't matter what anyone else says or thinks about your situation. It only matters what God's word says and what you say and believe about your situation. Now remember, we're talking about God's authoritative word here. And we know that He clearly wants you to have it. If not, He wouldn't have had it penned and then reprinted for us in the first place. And He's done it in several different translations. That's so everybody can have a copy that fits them. They're getting the Word, and He wants them to have the Word. What Jesus say? For it is written. It is written. Jesus said, if we believe in our heart and speak with our mouth, that we will have whatever we say. Why then do people want to have and say what they have instead of what God's word says that they have? A lot of times there's a big difference in what you say you have. Start saying what you do have, though, in the word. Because the word works. And let the word have the final authority in the situation. Let His word have the final authority. How do I do that? Faith in the word, trust in the one who gave us the word, and believe it to be true in your heart. And then just simply believe. Quit trying to analyze it, trying to ask for someone to give you a correct interpretation. It's in your heart. You already know exactly what to do. Believe. Believe it to be true. Well, it's hard. Yeah, it is hard. I've been there. But you keep pushing through. I mean, you think, I can't stand anymore. You know what He says? Stand some more. You can do it. I'm here. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm right here. No matter what you're facing, when you think it's the worst scenario, He's there. He's there. You got to take comfort in that. He's there. When we speak and claim what His word says we have, we become financially secure. We will be healed and made whole. We will become emotionally sound, not taking on the cares of this world. No more panic attacks. Freeing us up to sow seed for His kingdom. Freely we have received, freely we are to give. Follow His example as a giver. If you say that you have it, you'll have it. Mark 11:23. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Pretty plain, pretty simple. Doesn't sound like it's hard, does it? But believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. And more will be given to you. More. The Lord wants us to be bold. And to be bold, we are to do what the word says to be. Be strong and very courageous. Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, the Lord God shall condemn. This is the heritage of the saints of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord." The word says, children are a heritage from the Lord. You don't believe me? Psalm 127, verse 3 says it. We are His children, are we not? Let me read it again. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, the Lord God shall condemn. This is the heritage. Heritage? There it is. The heritage of the saint of the Lord. The heritage of the saints of the Lord. And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Be bold. Be strong. And be very courageous. So when you say what you will have, and it's in His Word, simply believe that you have what you say. Now, some of you might be thinking to yourselves, that comes off sounding a little bit arrogant and confident, right? And where do you think that thought came from? You're right, the devil, the accuser. He will come at you and say, really? What makes you so confident? It's the Word. What's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 say? It says, we are to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. See, it's spiritual warfare, folks, and he is good at it. But see, we are better and we are better protected if we put on the whole armor of God. In verse 17, how do you shut him off? You put on the helmet of salvation, and then you can't hear him. And the word of the Spirit. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's what it is. It's the Word of God. What kind of weapon do you have? Do you have that little one that pulls out like that? Or do you feed enough Word into you so that you got to go like that? You want to have a mighty weapon? Exercise the Word that you have been given. You have so much Word in you, folks. So when something comes against you, attack it with the Word. Pull it out of its sheath and sling it. Sling it at whatever that is you're facing. And you'll whittle it to size real quick with the Word. Don't be afraid to swing the sword. Our confidence comes from the Word. It's God's Word on the subject, and He wants us to have it and to speak it over our lives. Speak it over your lives. Being silent don't do you no good. You must speak the Word. What did Jesus say? For it is written. And then He quotes the Word. That's what we are to do. Quote the Word. Speak the Word over our bodies. I do every day. Every day. I wish I could say I'm totally 100% pain-free. But I'm not. But I speak to my body. We have to. We have to speak the Word. Because the Word is what ultimately works. And if you're taking medication for something, you pray over it in the Word that it works and does exactly what it's supposed to do. And that you will have none of the side effects. Did you ever get a prescription? My goodness, I mean, it's almost as thick as the Bible, I would say. These things that can, this is what can happen if you take this. You could have this, you could have that, you could have this, you could have that, this, that, that, and the other. I mean, do I really want to put this into my body? But if that's going to correct, I guess I better pray over it. Romans 8, verse 31, 32. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What exactly is all things? The word all is a grammatical word used to indicate that the whole of a particular thing, amount, group, or area is involved or affected. Shall he not with him freely give us all things? All. You want to know what? Give me a quick example of all. I thought this one was pretty cute. And God says, you know, use this one. I said, okay, Lord. Judy. She can make some of the most awesome caramel popcorn. I'm telling you. Dean, you want to talk about a weakness that goes back? That was my... But she would, when I used to be able to partake of it, take and make, you know what a mega bowl is from Tupperware? Oh, man, she would make that thing and fill it full of that caramel popcorn. And she'd say, this is for you. I said, this is all for me? She says, all for you. That was all. I didn't share it, did I, Therese? It was mine. I hid it in the closet, in the cupboard, wherever I had to. Because all of it was mine. That mega bowl was all mine. So when God says all, just think, your mega bowl is full. Your mega bowl is full. So when you pop the lid off, wow, what Jesus has in store for you is as good as that caramel popcorn, I'm telling you. Whew. Boy, I do miss that, Judy. I do miss it. I think about it. See, Dean, I do have a weakness. Dean was sitting there saying it to me something. He wanted something the other day, and he's sitting there. He says, he takes out, he says, I got to eat my granola bar. He's crunching that granola bar. And I almost broke a tooth as hard as that thing was. God wants you to have confidence in and believe what His Word is proclaiming to you. He wants you to have that kind of feeling about it and possessing it. He wants you to know that when you do, you can realize His amazing grace and goodness, and when it then becomes a woven part of the fabric of your inner being. Think about a Persian rug, how they're woven, masterfully put together. And you can't break that thing, can you? That's how the Word should be coming into your inner being. Woven together like that. And you can't separate one. It's in you. Giving you strength. Giving you strength. And also beauty, because those rugs are beautiful. It's more what's on the inside. Amen. Someone wrote, God's Word is amazing. It's the eighth wonder of the world. Wait a minute. It's not the eighth wonder of the world. It's the wonder of all wonders of this world and what is yet to come. There is nothing that compares to His Word. Nothing that works like His Word. Nothing that can lift you up like the Word. Nothing that can get you through what you're going through but the Word. Because it's the Word, the Word, the Word that works. And we must work the Word. It's there for us to work. and we work the Word in His Word, it will not return void. It will accomplish what it was sent out to do. That's His Word. That's His Word, folks. Wouldn't everyone want to have it? Yeah, want to have it flowing like a waterfall. Just keep flushing in all through your life. But you got to get into the Word too. And I must be, but you cannot forsake the assembly of yourself together in the house of God to hear the Word of God. You need the Word. You need the Word spoken into your life. And you want it from a vessel that God ordained to be at that point in time. If I'm the vessel today, Bob is going to be that vessel on Wednesday. It's the vessel that he uses. Because all we are delivery boys. We are nothing but delivery boys for him. And I'm proud that I'm a delivery boy. So is Bob. So is Dean when he gets up here and speaks. Anthony when he comes out of retirement. Doc when he comes out of retirement. I'm telling you. Because he's going to refresh us with what's in between the dash. He's going to find it. I know he is. He's working on his dash. Dash to the finish line. The devil doesn't want us to walk in and despise the day that we realize that we can have and are entitled to all of God's promises and blessings that are in His Word. So, when you say that you don't have it, he can rob you of your blessings because he has you in agreement with him. So stop being in agreement with the accuser. You got to stop it. Every time you start to engage, stop for a minute. This is what I'm talking about engaging. When you engage the mouth in its movements and its lips, because out of it's going to come out either life or death. Are you going to speak positive or are you going to speak negative? By the way, that's a great book. I look at that every once in a while to refresh myself. The negative speaking and negative words, how they affect us. She gave me a great scientific book on that. That it shows you. And I actually have charts in how it affects your life. How it affects you. How you speak, what you speak. And what you speak is what you believe. What's in your heart. Remember that. See, because Satan, he even knows to be in agreement, all it takes is two. Him and you. Think about it. That's how simple it is. He knows it. And you should know it too. So quit being in agreement with him. Be in agreement with the Word, what God says. That's who you want to be in agreement with. With Jesus Christ. Because he will take advantage of it. And once he gets it in and starts getting you in agreement with it, you just keep feeding it. And guess what happens? There's an effect called, it goes, and it keeps getting bent, doesn't it, brother? We don't need, you know, if we look at his word as the truth, that goes back this way. And that's what we want. That's what we want, because that's what's going to get us through. When you need something, God says get in agreement with him. And when you ask him, know that he will deliver, because he hears you. Word says he hears you. He hears every time you speak. So when you start saying, oh, I've got it. Oops, I must have lost it. I forgot. Where's it at? It's just to let you know what you said counteracted what you said the first time. You got to watch what you say. If you're speaking healing, then continue to speak healing. Don't speak the opposite. You get your paycheck, be thankful that it meets all your needs. The first thing you do, tithe. First thing you do, tithe. I'm telling you that for your benefit, not for mine. Not for this church's benefit. That's for your benefit. If people get the wrong concept of that, and when you do that, get it in where it's supposed to be. The tithe is holy and belongs to Him. And when you bring your tithe into the storehouse, it brings meat into His house. And what's He going to do for you? He's going to rebuke the devourer. He's going to rebuke the devourer. In whatever it is He's attacking in your life. Whatever it is. Physical, spiritual, financial, emotional. He will rebuke the devourer. Satan has no authority. The only authority he has is what we give him, folks. We give him authority, then we get in agreement with him, and it just keeps planting it into our head, and then it grows and grows and grows, and next thing you know, we start walking away from God. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to have a miserable life. But we know that Jesus came to give us a life and a life more abundantly. And we should be walking in that abundance and in that life today. Not tomorrow. It's not future. It's right now. But we let this get in the way. It's our heads that get in the way all the time. We think about things too much. We dwell on things too much. I'm not innocent of the fact. My head does that, and I got to stop. You ever been there and realize you've been sitting and thinking about something for a couple hours? And say, I just wasted all that time on that. I wasted my time. And I got to snap myself out of it and get back on track. Mark 11, verses 22 through 24 in the Message Bible. Jesus was matter of fact. Said, embrace this God life, really embrace it, and nothing will be too much for you. This mountain, for instance, just say, go jump in a lake. No shuffling, no shilly-shallying, and it's as good as done. That's why I urge you to pray for absolutely everything, ranging from small to big. No matter how small and insignificant you might think it is, it's not to Him. He wants to hear from you. And no matter how big it is, it's no different. He wants to hear from you. He can handle both of them. And He loves to handle both of them, small and large. And He is well capable of doing it. Well capable. Include everything as you embrace this God life, and you'll get God's everything. You'll get God's everything. Realize and start saying you already have God's everything. Get it in your spirit and realize that you have it. Even if you don't see it in the physical immediately, remember you have God's word on the subject, and that's all you'll need. It's like an automatic deposit made in there for you. He is always faithful to His word. God is telling us to call forth those things which do not exist as though they do. God has deposited so much for you into your personal account, why not start drawing from your account? Use your God-given debit card. The Master's gold card, it's called. You can't run the account empty because he keeps making deposits in it daily. He makes deposits daily. You have his word on it. Amen. So let me give you that scripture that backs that up, and then I'll end. Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Amen. Thank you. God bless each and every one of you.